Hi, this is Amy Beheimer, and you are listening to the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health, Habit 43, Clean Up Your Cosmetics with Carly Henderson. Before we jump into today's habit, I want to take a minute to share something I put together just for you. If you've ever wondered, Amy, what are the top most critical inflammation-lowering, cell-loving, disease-modifying habits? I walk you through my top six habits for feeling better with autoimmune disease starting today. And I do it in my free resource at www.amybeheimercoaching.com/6-habits. In it are six short video lessons and a place to take guided action, which is the secret to change. The link is also in the show notes. Grab it now and you'll gain energy and clarity needed to make health happen with these six key habits. On to today's habit. Welcome to the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health Podcast. You're in the right place if you want to be and feel healthy, no matter what your diagnosis, and you're open to using habits to get there. It's time to shift from managing your autoimmune disease to creating autoimmune health. I'm your host, Amy Beheimer, a coach and a doctor of pharmacy on a mission to feel healthy with multiple sclerosis. Each week, I'll be sharing evidence-based information and real-life inspiration from my life, my guests, and my clients. All habit heroes brave enough to turn a desire for health into daily decisions to create it. Get ready for the what, why, and how of habits proven to do your mind and body good. Here, we make changes in a way that feels amazing so they last. Let's have some fun. Welcome back, everybody. I am here with certified nutritionist, premier health coach, and the founder of Charisma Nutrition. Carly specializes in helping women with PCOS get pregnant, lose weight, and get rid of their symptoms naturally and without the overwhelm. After struggling with her own weight and hormones her entire life, Carly was able to lose over 68 pounds and regulate her cycles. She's now a mom to two busy boys, 3 years old and 8 months, even though she was told she would never be able to conceive without IVF because of her PCOS. Welcome, Carly. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm so excited.
Well, we got a little bit of your story. And I want to encourage everybody, whether you're trying to conceive or not, today's episode, we will not steer you wrong. This is definitely applicable for all of us autoimmune warriors. So, but before we jump into what our habit is there anything from that story that, or from your bio that I just mentioned that you want to add to? Tell me about your story.
Yeah. So when I was about 26 years old, I had just gotten married. We bought this two-story, four-bedroom house with hopes of filling all these extra bedrooms with babies right away. We'd already been together for like 7 years. We had a dog, we had two cats, we had stable jobs. We were ready for that next step. And I remember coming off of birth control, as most of us, are on some sort of birth control, and nothing was happening. And by nothing, I mean, I wasn't just not getting pregnant, but I just didn't have a cycle. It was sporadic at best. And just, long story short, I finally got diagnosed with PCOS after having to take a leave of absence from work, having several miscarriages. I put on 50 pounds. I was getting chin hairs. My health was all over the place. And if you don't know much about PCOS, there is a huge overlap with autoimmune. A lot of women with PCOS actually have Hashimoto's, which once you have one autoimmune disorder, I'm sure you're a lot more likely to develop other ones like celiac, or even to put you at greater risk of getting MS. And there's a whole lot of intricacies there when it comes to inflammation. So yes, my specialty is PCOS, and that's the only thing that I talk about. But what I want to share with you today applies to everybody.
I love it. I love it. And you actually have a four-step fertility formula that you work with people through. And when I found out about this formula, there's one piece of one of the steps that we're going to dive into today that I'm super excited because it definitely applies to all of us. And I'm going to have some confessions about my habits when it comes to this. So tell us an overview of the four-step fertility formula, and then we'll narrow in on where we're going to land this plane for this episode after that.
Sounds good. Okay. So just very quickly, the first step is to address the root cause. So find and address the root cause of whatever your issue is. Step two is to look at what goes in and on your body. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is what goes on your body. Step three is to make targeted lifestyle changes. And then step four is to learn how to recognize and optimize ovulation.
So it's kind of wild. In my membership club Habit Hub, one of the foundation lessons is getting to the root of our habits. So It's kind of wild how the same concepts really apply across whatever we're treating. And that's just because these things are good for bodies, not just people with these certain diagnoses or diseases. It's a very a disease-focused way to look at it versus we are both getting to the root of what's happening, you know, in our bodies. So there's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you looked at a sick plant or a sick tree, you know, its leaves are falling off and they're getting all shriveled. Are you going to go and get the tape or some glue and, you know, try to put those leaves back on this plant? No, I mean, you're probably going to look at the soil, right? Or the environment, like what is going on with the plant? What's making it sick, right? So instead of trying to put a Band-Aid on something and, you know, try to tape those leaves back on, like, you know, so many people do, let's get to the root cause and look at the bigger picture. So it's definitely applicable across so many different places.
I love that analogy. That's huge. So you mentioned it. It was step two, which is address what goes in and what goes on your body. So we are going to talk about this, what goes on your body. And specifically, you know, I think we can even get as narrow as cosmetics, because I would love to hear your perspective of what is happening out there with most women, men. What are we putting on our bodies that we aren't even aware of? And how is it impacting our health?
Honestly, Amy, it's really freaking scary. A couple fun facts. I'm in Canada, you're in the US, and then I'm going to compare the European Union just to give us three different perspectives. So people seem to think that just because a product is on a shelf in a store, you know, so you go to your local Walmart or Sephora, Ulta, Target, wherever, people think that just because a product is allowed to be on a shelf, that that means it's safe. And the sad truth is that could not be further from reality. So we live in an environment, or in Canada and the US, where it's actually regulated by the consumer. There are a few rules that they have to follow, but it is very few and far between. So Canada regulates about 600 chemicals. The US regulates, I think right now, it's under 20. And the European Union has about 1,400 chemicals that they watch. So it's pretty scary, right? If you think, you know, hormone disruptors, carcinogens, like there are some really, really crazy things out there. And, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, it's just a little bit. A little bit's not going to hurt me. But a lot of these things stay in our body for a long time, and you don't need a lot to have, you know, the dangerous health impacts that we do have. So,
and in our skin is our largest organ. And just what you said, everybody is different. And so we, as autoimmune warriors, are canaries in the coal mine. So what is the tipping point for some people may be very different than somebody who is sensitive. So thank you for saying that and for reminding us that it doesn't always take much to see these impacts.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So everyday products like, you know, your makeup, your skincare, I mean, going off track a little bit, like cleaning supplies, air fresheners, all these kinds of things have chemicals known as hormone or endocrine disruptors. So they interfere with your hormone system. And even at low levels, they can lead to major imbalances. So what I really focus on is how they impact inflammation and insulin resistance that can lead to, you know, obesity and hormone imbalances in women with PCOS, right? So that leads to fertility issues and so many other things down the line. Like, nobody realizes that, yes, those chemicals in your face cream can actually make it harder for you to lose weight and easier for you to gain weight.
Wow.
Right? Like, nobody makes that connection, but there's something in skincare, something called phthalates, which is just a plasticizer. It gives it that creamy, you know, pleasurable texture that makes it feel nice on your face. That is a very, very dangerous chemical that impacts your hormones. So we have to be super, super careful and start to read our labels.
You know, I've never thought of it like that. Actually, what you're rubbing on your face can, I mean, especially because a lot of people do think about weight, and oftentimes that's an entry point for people to really want to eat better, move more, do those things. And what a powerful connection you just made.
Yeah. Like, if you're putting in all this work, you know, changing what you're eating, how you're moving your body, you're focusing on your sleep, you're probably taking supplements and or some medications, you're doing all the things, but not realizing that the environment that you're putting your body in, your skin cream, everything, right? Your skin is your biggest organ, obviously, right? And it absorbs directly into your bloodstream. Yes, we have our liver designed for that natural detox, but it can be overloaded. Like your liver lives, you know, think of evolution hundreds of years ago, right? Like our livers haven't caught up to the chemical onslaught that we're giving ourselves day in, day out. And, you know, some things we can control and some things we can't, but something really easy to control is definitely our cosmetics, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are safer options out there, absolutely, but sometimes it takes, you know, a science degree or pharmaceutical degree to, you know, be able to understand the ingredients that are on these packages. So it can be kind of scary.
Well, you help people walk through this. So what do you see as the biggest barrier when people, you know, decide they, you know, buy into this idea that these could be harming my health? What barriers do you see come up when they do want to get rid of them?
First thing, honestly, even before they get to that point is ignorance, right? And it's, you don't know what you don't know, right? Like they have this trust in the government and in these brands that are really, really great at greenwashing, right? Just because, you know, Aveeno, for example, says it's natural on the label, or even ones that you think are even better, like say, you know, Native or Baby Ganics is like one that I, you know, thought would have been pretty good for my kids, right? It's called Baby Ganics, right? Like baby and organic. You would think that's a pretty good stuff, but then you flip it over and you look at the back label and you're like, oh my God, like this is loaded with preservatives and all just kinds of crazy, scary ingredients that I don't want that on my kids, never mind myself. Like that is scary.
Tell me about this greenwash term. I've never heard that.
Yeah, it makes people think that the product is either safer when it comes to your health or more environmentally friendly than it actually is. Wow. So you can just search the word greenwashing and think of the brand like Lush, for example, is a cosmetics brand that you would think is like pretty clean, right? Like, you know, a lot of this stuff looks handmade, but you wouldn't believe the dyes and the preservatives and fragrance that goes into these products. So fragrance is actually something that is huge. So this can actually be a really easy first step for people to take when they're trying to live a lower tox life, is to avoid things with fragrance. So there's this loophole that exists in both Canada and the US, where if a company puts fragrance on their label, that can be like 12 or 1500 different chemicals that they can actually hide in there. Like they can say something is even like paraben free, but they can hide the parabens under their fragrance recipe. And that becomes, you know, like their trademark, like it's a trademark scent, right? So they don't have to disclose what's in.
Wow. That's wild. That is wild. I wonder if there's a similar term out there for greenwashing, but for food. I mean, think of food labels that just, you know, if you're making a claim on the front, most likely that means there's something you're hiding in the back.
It also applies to food. So
it does.
You see something like natural or, you know, no added sweeteners, but then, or no added sugar, but you look at the back and it's like high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Right. Gluten-free. It's like, technically they're not lying, but.
Yeah.
Or same thing with like flavors, right? Like they can hide whatever they want in there. And it's really, really scary.
Greenwashing. And is part of greenwashing, because, you know, sometimes you mention something I've heard even in my own life when I want to rethink something to reduce toxins. So whether it's laundry detergent, whether it's something related to that, people be like, oh, yeah. Is there some level of people get turned off when it feels like a conspiracy theory, even though this is all very backed by data?
I don't run into that a lot, to be honest. I mean, you definitely can go down a big rabbit hole on this, and some stuff it's like, okay, at the end of the day, we're never going to be 100% non-toxic. Like, you know, the water that we drink, we can, you know, even a Brita doesn't filter out everything. Like you can dive really, really deep on this stuff. And at the end of the day, we're never going to be 100% non-toxic, but it's a twofold effort, right? Limit the exposure that you use every day, like your skincare and your makeup and your shampoo and body wash, for example, your deodorant. Your clothes are on your body, which touches your skin. So maybe choose better laundry detergent and cleaning products. But I mean, this if I talk to somebody, I'm going to use the term crunchy. Like I would call myself crunchy, like I'm sort of crunchy. But if you talk to somebody super crunchy, they would say, oh, you know, this is, you know, synthetic fabrics and blah, 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 blah. Like you can really dive deep on it. And maybe that's where the conspiracy stuff might come from. But you can also get overwhelmed and that can, you know, lead to other things like anxiety. But if you just make some simple changes in your life, that can have a huge effect along with eating the proper diet that's going to support your liver to filter out what you are exposed to.
Yeah. And a motto we have here is trust in the tiny. It's throwing it out and saying, oh, we're never going to be toxin free. So I'm not going to do it. These tiny steps, every decision, every single time we buy a product, it's essentially voting with our dollars in terms of what we see more of in the future that comes out of these companies. Would you agree with that?
150%. Like you just said that in a much nicer way, but that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that is, no, you're making such clear sense and it's really helping to get some of that background and the why behind it. So we've definitely covered the what, we've definitely covered the why. Now, can we play with a little bit of the how? How do we take these first steps, which is huge when we're trying to form any habit, is let's not worry about all the steps, but just the first step. So you mentioned the fragrance. That could be step one. What's another how that we can consider as we move towards this?
So familiarize yourself and pick a few brands, like do your research, pick a few brands that you know that you can trust. So for me personally, I use for cleaning products, I use a brand called Attitude. They're super affordable. They're similar to like, they have different scents, but they disclose their fragrance. That's one thing there. They have, you know, skincare, they have makeup, sunscreen. I use a lot of their baby stuff. But then if you are somebody who's like, you know, but I really like, you know, my Sephora or my Ulta type, you know, skincare and beauty products, or, you know, you really want some anti-aging benefits. The one that I use and love is Beauty Counter. They ban over 2,400 or 2,800 ingredients you'll never find in their formulations.
Wow.
So compare that to, you know, less than 20 that the US actually bans, or even 600 that Canada actually controls. I trust in that brand and it gives you great quality.
Yeah. And the coolest thing about this in terms of a habit is it's really just making that purchase the first time. So I use kind of a tinted moisturizer for my face. It's not even as if I have to come back every day and use some of these tools for making a habit. It's you do it once and enjoy the benefits until it runs out.
Yeah, exactly. It's taking that step. And, you know, you can get into analysis paralysis, or you can get into being overwhelmed and finding that right product. But there are apps out there. None of them are 100% perfect. The one that I use is EWG, the Environmental Working Group. They have a great app. You can even scan the product when you're at the store. You can plug the product into their website. And basically, the closer to zero that score is for that product, the better it is for you. Learn to read the label, because, you know, there are some companies that can buy their way to a greener label on that website, unfortunately. But for the most part, they're pretty reliable. And if something scores over a 4, I wouldn't buy it. I mean, most of the ones that I use are a 0, 1, or a 2, but just start small, right?
Yeah. And I can put a link for the EWG because they're also an amazing resource for seafood and for different, you know, you've likely heard of the Dirty Dozen or the Clean 15 when it comes to organic. So they're a trusted company with that. How do you feel about mineral fusion? Asking for a friend, AKA me.
I'm not super familiar, to be honest. I'd have to do a deep dive on it, but in general, so what's the other one? Mineral something. Anyway, the only thing that kind of throws me off a little bit with the mineral-based things are when they have the ingredients silica and talc. So I don't know if you've noticed, but there's no longer, like, remember Johnson's baby powder?
Mm-hmm.
You'll never find that on a shelf ever again. It was a talc, great for, you know, absorbing extra anywhere. They got rid of that because it's not the talc itself, but it's actually in the processing of it, it gets contaminated with heavy metals and all kinds of different carcinogens. So a lot of the mineral-based makeup, especially like, you know, powders, eyeshadows, anything like that, anything with a shimmer in it, really a lot of those mineral-based products contain talc and silica, which are known carcinogens, which impact our hormones. So without going, you know, I don't know that brand off the back of my hand, but I have a feeling that's something to look for. If it has talc on the ingredients, don't use it.
I should look it up. It was my two-step process was I did reference EWG which helped. And the second one was it was available on Amazon. So that tells you a little bit of my strategy of convenience that I like to use. But in the same way that you just mentioned, finding a brand you trust, you know, and the same goes with food. Sometimes finding, you know, a brand that you can get behind and you know they're not going to be slipping in certain ingredients on different products and things like that is huge.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just to, you know, throw a shout out there to women with PCOS, it's a lot of us want anti-aging ingredients, and something to really watch for is retinol. Retinol can actually cause birth defects. Wow. So you should not be using that. It's not good for your egg quality, but there are safer alternatives. And it is getting more popular, but something called bakuchiol, and it has, you know, clinically the same results as retinol, but in a safer form.
Love that. Well, and to my confession that I mentioned at the beginning, it's funny, growing up, I never used to wash my face often. And so it was, everyone's like, how do you not wash your face? And I somehow got lucky and I didn't have breakouts and things like that. And when I look back, sometimes I wonder, did that actually help me? Because I wasn't putting these chemicals and these soaps on my face, you know, did it actually turn out to be a benefit? Something I wonder.
Yeah. Well, were you wearing a lot of makeup or no?
No, when I was younger, I definitely didn't. I was a tomboy.
Yeah. So it's one thing to go to bed without washing your face, especially when it comes to, you know, keeping your skin barrier intact and avoiding those breakouts and, you know, having a dirty pillow. Now it's rubbing on your face again. And yeah.
I think I got pretty lucky. I probably did, but did not.
Beautiful skin.
Oh, well, that's too kind. I still probably, you know, I want to do better in terms of really looking at each of these products. And I love doing these episodes and getting experts like you in on this, because it's such a reminder that there are always areas that we can relook at and, you know, re-optimize. And it doesn't feel like a big thing, but it's these little things adding up in all these little different areas that make such a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are a minimalist like Amy, what I would recommend is grabbing a tinted moisturizer, and you can eat that has SPF in it. Choose something that has a mineral SPF to avoid the carcinogen. Not only is this going to, you know, give your complexion a more even looking skin tone, obviously give you that extra moisture, but it's going to prevent future signs of aging, right? The sun is the biggest thing that's going to impact our skin. So we should definitely be really careful with that, and to obviously help prevent skin cancer as well.
I love that advice. That is perfect. And so around here, we always end with a do of the day. And what I'm hearing is maybe clean out your cosmetics.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say is, go through your, you know, cosmetics pouch, drawer, whatever you have, makeup bag. You know, it's not just your makeup, but also your skincare. Number one, get rid of anything expired. Come on, it's been in there way too long. You're not going to use it.
Guilty.
And number two is if it's loaded with fragrance, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff on there, or you use the EWG app and you start scanning things and, you know, it's looking a little bit scary. I know stuff is expensive, so you can, you know, replace things as they run out. But if it's in your budget, I would definitely start from scratch and use a safer brand. Like I said, the one that I really like is Beauty Counter, but there are a few other ones out there.
And I think we can all use a good purge. I mean, there is some truth in outer order helping contribute to inner calm. And I know I'm just thinking of my cosmetic drawer, and you called me out with the expired product. We do not... We do not need that. And I can just picture purging it and starting fresh and placing things in there with intention. Really what we need feels like it might be in my future.
Well, if you need any help with, you know, skincare, choosing cosmetics, or even things, you know, like finding good deodorant that's safe, that doesn't suck, feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to chat.
I love that. And I'll be sure to get your information, put it in the show notes for everybody. So if you are struggling with PCOS, if you know somebody who's struggling with PCOS and could benefit from this four-step process, as well as Carly's wisdom and experience, I'll make sure that that information is in there so that we can get you guys connected and on the right path towards health.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
It sure was. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health. I am forever grateful for the time and energy you share with me. Are you ready to take what you learn here to the next level and apply it? Come visit me at amybehimercoaching.com. That's www.amybehimercoaching.com. I know firsthand that health is about feeling better today and doing all we can to enjoy a healthier tomorrow. Let's do both together. One last thing, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode where I just might cover the habit that your body has been waiting for. If you're feeling extra generous, please leave a rating and review. It really is the best way to help other warriors find us here. You can find me on Instagram at Amy Behimer Coaching. Come follow. Special thanks to my editor, Sarah. Talk soon.